It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Good morning, 97.1, Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. It's a Wednesday, which means the power surge in about 30 minutes. Lions
at
the top.
How much movement? How much movement? We don't know.
And how much does the trade deadline factor into what John does with the top six teams in the NFL? You heard Dan Campbell in the update talking Za'Darius Smith. Turns out Ian Rapoport wasn't wrong.
He does know.
He did have some sources.
He just knows it all, doesn't he?
He's dialed in. And we'll talk about Za'Darius Smith and the job that Brad Holmes did coming up at 6:50. We'll get to the election during news. We've got the college football playoff rankings out. John, did you have any big takeaways?
I thought it was interesting. I was curious as to how they were going to rank Indiana. And Oregon at the top, no surprise. And then you start talking about some of the one-loss teams, and you start talking about different conferences, strength of conference. The ACC has an undefeated in Miami. They end up at four, but Georgia and Ohio State, both with a loss, are at 2 and 3, respectively. Texas is right there. I just wanted to see, what are they going to do with with Indiana? Because Indiana obviously is undefeated. They have not played, you would say, a strong strength of schedule. And we talked about it yesterday. And I thought you brought up a great point. If that was a Block M versus a Pitchfork, are they a top four team? Or are they, you know, like, where would they be? Because it's very comparable to Michigan's schedule last year.
I have it in front of me. Michigan last year was also 9-0, and they checked in at number 3 on the college football playoff rankings.
And you could say whatever you want about their first, you know, 9 games. They didn't play anybody. And again, no disrespect for the teams that they played last year. A lot of them were in disarray.
They're not listening. It's okay. You can disrespect them.
Right. Well, Michigan State was one of them.
Okay.
But at 10, week 10, they played Penn State. So they didn't play anybody up to that point. And it's very similar to Indiana. Okay, they played Nebraska. Nebraska was the first team, and that was, their 7th game of the year, that they played before they even had played a team with a winning record.
My point is Michigan last season beat ECU, UNLV, Bowling Green, Rutgers, Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, MSU, and Purdue, and at that point was deemed the number 3 team in America, right, as an undefeated team. Indiana has also beaten similarly mediocre football teams, right, and they're 8th in this initial ranking, which I can only conclude is because they don't have a Block M next to their name. And some people are going to take that as a shot at Michigan. I'm actually saying of Indiana.
Yeah.
They should be higher than they are in this initial ranking. The beauty of it, John, anybody who's upset today, Indiana can go out on the field and move themselves up. Because in a 12-team playoff, you really do have a chance to settle this thing on a field in a way we never did before.
And I'm glad that they put them in front of Notre Dame, because Notre Dame has that really bad loss, obviously, to Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the brand started to fall apart in terms of where they were ranking. But I'm glad that they're at 8, because they do have that opportunity, just like Michigan did last year, to solve it on the field. Solve all your problems on the field, because they're going to play Michigan this weekend. They're going to play Ohio State. Mm-hmm. They're going to play, you know, if they keep winning, they're going to play in the Big Ten championship game. They could be anywhere in the top four simply because they get the auto bid for the Big Ten.
Yeah, they could be number one. I mean, if they win every game, they'll be number one, which, I mean...
This is bizarro world.
Indiana We're talking about, Hoosiers. Okay,
this year, we have the Indiana Hoosiers as one of the favorites in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And we have the Detroit Lions as a Super Bowl favorite. What world did we just enter?
It's incredible.
It's. I mean, you put all those things in one, and you're like, wow, this the world has changed. So... That's kind of my big takeaway, that Indiana is at eight. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could be and should be arguably higher. Like, I think you could put them ahead of Tennessee and Penn State, who each have a loss. I think you could comfortably nestle them in. What would that be, six?
Penn State, their loss is to Ohio State. Ohio State, their loss is to the number one team in the country on a last second.
And who's Indiana's loss to? That's kind of my point.
Yeah, I understand that, but who's their win?
Well, who's Penn State's big win?
No, that's the argument.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, and for that matter, who's Texas's big win?
Right.
So I think that's where we're at right now. Is I think you could put Indiana in that top five just on the strength of being undefeated, and they haven't even stubbed their toe. No one's even close to them. They win by two touchdowns every week. I have no reason to believe that they aren't every bit as good as the record indicates until proven otherwise. And if they get blown out by Ohio State, guess what, John? I'll kick their ass all the way down the rankings, but they haven't lost to Ohio State yet.
Oh, you will. Wow.
That's my point. And if I'm Ohio State, clearly I'm going to have a say in what happens here. That was my big takeaway from this. Ohio State is the number two team in America, and they are primed for the five seed. And I don't know if people, this is the first year of the college football playoff with 12 teams, if they realize what that five seed is all about. See, if you're the five seed, you get to play the worst team in the field, the 12 seed. And then if you win, you get to face the worst power conference champion. In this case, it'd be BYU. So you've got a real shot to be touchdown or two touchdown favorites in your first two playoff games. Oh, by the way, you'll host the first one on your college campus. The five seed is going to go to the best, in most years, the best non-champion from the Big Ten or the SEC. And right now the committee is saying the Big Ten has the best teams, number one and number two, as well as Penn State and Indiana, all in the top 10.
And from an administrator's perspective, one through four, okay, you have the best odds. You know, if you're the number one team, you get the best odds to win it all, which ultimately means lots of money. But if you are... 5 through 8, and you host an extra on-campus game, that's a big-time paycheck that you didn't expect.
Sure.
And so hosting a game, how much more money does that bring to the athletic department? And not just the – because everybody's going to – that's going to be a sellout everywhere you go, obviously. I mean, these teams aren't going to sell out. Indiana's the one that's kind of new to the whole sellout crowd.
Yeah.
But you all of a sudden – you get that, and then what it means for the university, for the community. Obviously, doesn't factor into the rankings, but that's a big-time benefit of being 5 through 8.
And that's really what college football is all about.
Money. It's about money.
Sad, are but we, true.
Are, yeah, it, sad it really but is. True. But the matchups are what is really cool about this version of the rankings.
Do you have the bracket if it were to end right now? Yeah, go through this.
Yeah, so... bigger there. Here we go.
Don't squint.
Yeah. Eyes. The first round, the 12 seed Boise State will travel to Columbus and play Ohio State. Indiana will travel to Knoxville to take on Tennessee. Alabama going to Austin to take on Texas. That's going to be a great matchup. Notre Dame and Penn State in Happy Valley.
The someone has to win a big game bowl.
Right. Unbelievable. And then obviously your 1 through 4 seeds who get a bye. One seed would be Oregon, as the committee has it right now. Two would be Georgia. Three, Miami. And four, BYU. So they all get a bye.
Yeah. And again, it sets up, and Indiana would have to go to Knoxville right now, which is part of the frustration of them being ranked where they are because they're the undefeated team. You'd wish that that game would be in Bloomington. My three biggest takeaways, the Indiana stuff we've talked about, the five seed being a power spot, not nearly enough coverage yet. People will get on that train at some point. Mm-hmm. Alabama as a 2-loss team in the playoff right now. They're the final playoff team that is not guaranteed a spot. Right. Boise's guaranteed a spot. Alabama with two losses ahead of SMU with one loss. This is the debate we had preseason. What do we do with these final at-large bids? Alabama doesn't get punished for losing. They get a participation award for participating in the Southeastern Conference. The results on the field don't matter as much for them, even though the SEC is down this year.
Or they get a participation trophy because they're playing a tougher schedule.
And they're losing those games.
They lost a couple of them.
Yeah, multiple losses. Whereas,
They also beat Georgia.
Sure.
And again, top five team.
And I question, is the SEC the SEC of old? Because we really do need to ask this year, these teams. I saw Ole Miss lose to unranked Kentucky. I just saw LSU lose to unranked South Carolina. I've seen Texas struggle this season. I've seen Georgia and Alabama struggle this season. Alabama lost to Vandy. I mean, there are real questions.
Vandy is a ranked team.
Not in the College Football Playoff committee's eyes.
No, but okay, they're right there.
So in the committee's eyes, Vandy is not a top 25 team, and Alabama lost to them. Therefore, that loss doesn't matter because it's an SEC loss. We can just write those all off, and that's what I don't like.
So what's your argument for SMU being in? Is it you can't just have four from
their only
the
losses
SEC?
To a top 10 team in the committee's eyes, right?
Yeah,
and otherwise. They don't have a loss. They're undefeated in their conference. And the beauty of this is if SMU's any good, they'll win out, they'll win the ACC, and they'll be in. If they don't, they'll pick up their second loss, and then you can go, all right, Bama, SMU, two loss each.
Well,
Bama
would get the edge. Here's the thing about SMU. Like you mentioned, they will have their opportunity. They've got three games left. They play Boston College at Virginia, and then the end of the season in rivalry weekend, they have the classic SMU and Cal ACC matchup.
Of course. Yes, John.
So
a long and storied rivalry.
Right, yes, long storied rivalry, and who doesn't want the SMU-Cal final game of the regular season? But that's my point, is if they continue to win, and then it'll depend on, okay, they'll probably play BYU. No, they won't. They would play Miami, all right? I did this last night, and I'm going through it. I'm writing it down. I don't have my notes. I'm like, wait a second, SMU. I still can't believe SMU is in the ACC. But they'll play Miami. Now, if Miami runs the table and they beat SMU and you're a two-loss team,
then they won't be in. Compared to other two-loss SEC and Big Ten teams.
Right, but Alabama could have three losses after this weekend. And then again, it takes care of itself.
Right, and that's the point. We have some initial takeaways on the ticket texts. We've got the power surge at 6:35, and we've got the news coming up next. You may have heard there was an election last night. It's 97.1.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Got some ticket texts on the College Football Playoff rankings. They are out. We had some takeaways. Indiana checking in at number 9. Interesting. Undefeated Indiana. Number 1 and number 2 are both Big Ten teams, Oregon and Ohio State. That means the Big Ten's in a great spot for that 5 seed. And then the classic debate of the final spot. You've got Alabama with two losses ahead of one loss, SMU. Some ticket texts say, there's zero chance Ohio State will be the 5 seed. If they win out, they're the 1. If they lose, they'll fall. Right, but if they lose, let's say, the Big Ten title to Oregon, they'll have 2 losses. You know who will also have 2 losses? The team that loses the SEC championship game as well. And the committee has said, at least so far, that Ohio State is more impressive than any of the SEC teams.
Right, yeah. I mean, right now, currently, as it's ranked 1 through 5, Georgia is 3 behind Ohio State. Texas, 7-1. They're 5 behind Ohio State. Tennessee, 7-1 behind Ohio State.
So, Jim, what you're saying, though, here is that 1 loss Ohio State or 2 becomes 2 loss Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game.
Yes.
But they will have beaten Indiana. And if even if Indiana only has 1 loss, a 2 loss Ohio State would be ahead of 1 loss Indiana.
I think that's what the committee would do, yes, because of the head-to-head.
The extra game and the quality loss them was the 1 team.
Yeah, and they would have played the 2 losses to the same team, 1 on the road, 1 in a conference title game. I don't think they'd be punished for that.
So you believe SMU should get in over Alabama?
Today. Now, the beauty of this is it's going to play out where SMU will either win the ACC or lose a second game. And if they have a second loss, there's going to be a bevy of 2-loss SEC teams that would be ahead of them. But today, doing radio today, the 1-loss team, opposed to the 2-loss team, these SEC teams shouldn't just get credit for existing in the SEC.
Okay, but even if, let's say, they have 2 losses, and the debate's going to become a 2-loss SMU ACC championship game loser or the 4th or 5th SEC team.
Do they have 3 or more losses? Because I go
no,
SMU.
No, that also has 2 losses.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't play the extra game.
Okay. And well, the extra game is a game that counts. If you get credit for winning, you it is on the table that you could be considered as a loss as well to go in the other way. I mean, you can't have it both ways.
But it's an extra risk.
Yeah, and you sign up for the risk because it comes with the opportunity to win a bye.
Right, but you also don't sign up for the risk. I mean, if you're just going to have your toe in the water for ACC like Notre Dame is, but you're not going to participate in their championship game, then you say, like, I just take the easy way out. I'll let you guys fight for it.
The way it's broken down right now, 4 Big Ten, 4 SEC, 1 Big 12, 1 ACC, 1 Notre Dame, and 1 group of 6 Boise State.
Does that surprise you?
No, it doesn't.
No, but just disappoints you.
Well, I think the ACC will be a 1-bid league because I don't think SMU is going to win out. And I think at that point, it's the reasonable thing to do.
But your big beef before the season was conference representation.
Yes.
And to get a 4th Big Ten or SEC team over a 2nd ACC, your argument was for the ACC team.
My argument was I didn't want a 3 or a 4 loss Big Ten team getting in over a 1 or 2 loss ACC.
Okay, so I do think Miami's carrying a huge flag here for the ACC and the Big 12 in this playoff. It's assuming they just went out, go undefeated. They need to really win a game to justify ACC and Big 12 representation going forward, in my mind, because what this is playing into is it's the Big 10 and SEC Invitational. And I don't see how this is any better than it used to be.
Well, the way it's better than it used to be is you were never guaranteed a slot if you went undefeated in college football. Now, if Miami goes undefeated, if BYU goes undefeated, they will get spots as opposed to previously Florida State was left out.
Agreed. So that, to me, would have just been a 16 playoff.
Or an 8. 8 would have been fine, too.
I mean, to me, this is just, why are Bama and other Texas, potentially whoever the 2-loss SEC teams, getting a second chance? They had their chance. That's what was the beauty of college football before.
248-539-9797. Couple quick ones on Indiana. Texter says, Cookies, Michigan was in the playoff last year before because they brought most of the players back. Indiana was garbage last year, Jeff and Taylor.
Yeah, but
it's a new year. You're supposed to only judge what's happened this year for these rankings.
Right, but that's where the human element is. And if you're going to put Indiana at 8, you're basically saying, okay, who did they put them in front of? That's really where you're looking at and going, okay, is they, as long as they win, they remain in front of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They remain in front of an undefeated BYU. They remain in front of Alabama or all those teams. Now they have that opportunity because other teams in front of them can lose and will lose to move up. So this is all for entertainment purposes.
Yeah, this is made for TV at this point.
Right. There's so much football left to be played. And, I mean, whether there's 4 teams, there's 12 teams, it's all going to be played out on the field.
1 hour away, we'll talk to Sharon Moore, Michigan head football coach. We've got the Lions coming up at 6:50. Did Holmes do enough? Are they the Super Bowl favorite? Deadline is behind us. Power Surge at 6:35. Let's get to Heather's news.
Well, guys, some big news to share with everybody. We know what happened yesterday, Election Day. Well, Donald Trump has been elected the 47th president of the United States. With a win in Wisconsin, Trump cleared the 270 electoral votes needed to claim the presidency. Mm-hmm. This is interesting. He becomes the first president since Grover Cleveland 132 years ago to lose the office and then win again 4 years later. He's the oldest president.
Yeah,
he's 78 years old. He's also the first convicted felon to be elected president as well.
It looks like he could win the popular vote as of this morning, too, which I don't think many people expected.
Yeah, there's three states still undecided.
Right.
Michigan among them, Nevada and Arizona.
There you have it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. Let it play out.
Okay, this story, let's get to some other news. Tragedy struck during this soccer match in Peru on Sunday, and there is video.
This is wild.
It's, if you haven't seen it, I'm not saying you have to, because it is kind of hard to watch, because a 39-year-old soccer player was killed instantly when he got struck by lightning while he was walking across the field. And like I said, there's video of it, and you don't really see like a bolt of lightning, but what you do see is about eight other players as well all fall in unison, and everyone just hits the ground.
They're all laying on the ground.
It's terrifying. The team's goalie also, I guess, took a direct hit as well. He did survive with some serious burns. Others had to be hospitalized. And the game was actually called off because of the weather. So the team was walking across the field to get off the field to take cover.
This is why, I mean, I'm obviously here, when we have football games that are delayed because of storms in the area, there's a certain ring around the stadium that they, as soon as they see a bolt of lightning, everybody, you know, clear the stadium, clear the field. We're not doing it. This is why.
Yeah.
And we all get frustrated, but.
Oh, yeah. Fans are like, oh, come on. It's not that big a deal.
When I was a kid, we used to play through all of it. Yeah. We're all kind of lucky.
Yeah. So we know that Jason Kelce has apologized for his behavior towards that fan that was, you know, kind of trolling him and his brother with these derogatory comments. Well, it sounds like he's actually expected to address the situation a little further again during his New Heights podcast that comes out today. So he might say some other words. ESPN has decided not to discipline him for his actions, but there is still a police investigation into the situation going on. Penn State police are investigating. It sounds like it would be more for like destruction of property, because he took that person's phone and smashed it on the ground.
It'll be interesting how they weigh that versus the slurs that were being
provoking
it. Yeah. Yep.
The NBA has suspended Philadelphia 76ers Joel Embiid for three games without pay after he shoved that member of the media. That was Marcus Hayes was the columnist that he shoved in the shoulder. The altercation took place in a locker room on Saturday night. The league said that mutual respect is paramount to the relationship between players and media. And they said, yes, we understand that he was offended by the personal nature of the column that was written. But hey, you still need to keep your interactions professional, and it can never turn physical.
If they really wanted to punish Embiid, they'd have him play three straight games.
Right. That's right. Load management.
Finally, whooping cough is on the rise in Michigan. Health officials have identified at least 830 cases so far this year, surpassing last year's total and blowing past the annual average of 596 cases from 2017 to 2019. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is saying, hey, we do have vaccines for this. Get vaccinated against the disease. This can be dangerous for young people. But they say it can take about 5 to 10 days for symptoms to appear. Can start kind of like a common cold, but then you get that just uncontrolled coughing fits that just don't go away.
And you whoop while you're doing it, right?
Yes.
Yes. That's the telltale sign. Exactly.
It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, how does the trade deadline shake up the best teams in the NFL? It's the Power Surge. It's 97.1. Deadline in the books. Teams made some moves, including the Detroit Lions. John, take us through your top six teams.
Well, here is just a little peek back at last week, right? It was the first week that Detroit took the number one spot over Kansas City. Buffalo was there at three. Green Bay, obviously, we know what happened there. They were at four. Houston, interesting case study here in Houston. They were at five. Baltimore was the first time I had put a three-loss team in the top six. Those on the outside looking in were Pittsburgh, Philly, Minnesota, Washington, all of them with two losses. So this week, now we're starting to get to the time of the season where, yes, there are teams that have three losses that we're going to be talking about. There's going to be teams that have four or five losses down the road. The Lions may never reach that level of decimation at 14-3, or as Jim Costa wants to think, 15-2. But the teams that are on the outside looking in, yes, Houston, the loss to the Jets, bad loss, bad look. Offense has struggled at different times. Yeah, they didn't have Nico Collins, but they're on the outside looking in. So it opens up a spot in the top six. Green Bay, 6-3. Again, they were in that top six, so it opens up another spot. Who could that possibly be that's jumped up into the top six? Minnesota, the Chargers. The first time I have mentioned the Chargers in some time. And they're playing that last place schedule. They have losses to the best teams that they've played. The Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Cardinals. Wins against the Raiders, the Panthers, the Broncos, the Saints, and the Browns. So not a lot. It's just one, hey, keep an eye on them. They're still on the outside looking in. They're working their way up. Pittsburgh, a two-loss team that is, if I was going to rank all the way past six, I would probably put them at seven because they actually do lead their division. Yet, I've got Baltimore with three losses still in the top six. So, number six, making an appearance since, I believe, week one, Philly.
There you go.
Got him in. I know that was your big... you had a problem with that last week,
yes,
didn't you?
Yeah.
So, surprised... They didn't add at the deadline. Howie Roseman, one of those guys that seems to always find salary cap space, that seems to find a way to continue to get better. I'm curious, the concept there, are they thinking, maybe we're not all in, we're just having a really nice season, and I don't want to hamstring the next coach? Sirianni, I think, even at 6-2, it's on the hot seat last year. It's going to probably be on the hot seat again. Washington comes in at number five. And here's where we're going to get into the separation part of the schedule. All right, they've played nine games. They haven't had their bye week. The next couple of weeks, they play the Steelers. They host them, and then they play at Philadelphia. So it is Judgment Day is coming for Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. And if they pass those tests, they're going to only continue to move up.
They got to play each other twice still this season, Philly right. and Washington.
A lot of division games haven't happened. I mean, like, we haven't played the Bears. No one's shaking in their boots there. They don't even have players that play the entire game. So, number four, Buffalo. And Buffalo dropped from three. They've got a four-game lead in their division, wow. which is unbelievable. They could actually clinch their division the first week of December. That's how bad that division is. And just, you know, looking at the division, they've got obviously the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Patriots. It's a horrible division. But they're a team that is, you know, continuing to play well. Josh Allen in the conversation for MVP. Baltimore comes in at number three. Nothing in this win other than they recovered from a really bad loss to the Browns. Lamar Jackson, this is going to be a conversation we're going to be having over the remainder of the season. How do you pick an MVP? Is it wins? It's Jared Goff. Is it numbers? Is it just simply they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him? And I don't know how you decipher that between Goff and the Lions and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, but he is a passer rating of 120, highest passer rating that he's had in his career. His numbers are off the charts, but they come in at number three. Kansas City remains at two, and I was in between the whole flip-flop of Detroit and Kansas City. I think Detroit stays at number one, obviously. Best offense in the NFL. They've been able to win without adding now that they have added, and that's a projection for next week. So we'll see what it means for next week. But as it stands right now, KC added DeAndre Hopkins, but they needed overtime heroics from their offense to be able to win against a team in Tampa Bay that, yes, the Detroit Lions lost to earlier in the season, but they are have been absolutely decimated by injuries. I was shocked that Tampa was even in this game because of Kansas City's defense, because of the injuries that, Tampa's had, but Detroit stays at number one for obvious reasons. All three phases, offense, defense, special teams, they have been the best, most well-rounded team in the NFL.
Okay, so when we do this, there's an element of projection, but there's also just going by what's happened so far. And last week we discussed this. Kansas City has not lost, which right. is why from a power ranking standpoint, I would put them number one.
Where you it just gets hate Detroit.
Where it gets dicey is, do I think Detroit is the better team? Yes, but that's projection. And that's where this gets into the methodology. Do you want to say, I think this team will win a future game?
I don't think it's a projection that they're the better team. I think it's... They have to go out and do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City's still undefeated.
But the reason you put Baltimore as high as three, they have three losses.
Right.
They beat Buffalo head-to-head, which I can respect.
We're not counting Buffalo. Baltimore has three more losses than Kansas City, and they're the third team in the rankings. I would put Baltimore three because I'm seeing this more like John, where I would put the Lions one. The only difference I have this week is I'd flip-flop Philly and Washington. I think Philly's better. I think they're a better total team. Offense is pretty high in the yardage in the in the league, but defense is quite a bit better than Washington's.
Buffalo is going to have a big say in this, not only how they move up, but they're going to play Kansas City in a couple weeks, and they're going to face Detroit later this season.
Yeah.
Buffalo could end up playing themselves to the one spot in this, or decide based on who beats them between right. Detroit and Kansas City, who definitively is the number one team in the NFL.
Buffalo is also going to have a say in not just the power rankings, but who gets the number one seed in the NFC, because I mean that they'll play the Niners. Not that they're in it, mm-hmm. but it could be one that knocks the Niners out. They play the Rams. Obviously, they play the Lions. They're going to have an opportunity to solidify themselves as a really good team, because I do think that even though the Niners are not a great team right now, they have a lot of wins. They are starting to get healthy, and I have no idea what McCaffrey is doing.
I'm going to be fat. I think it's one of the stories of the second half of the season is what do the Niners become?
Right.
Are they ready? Are they going to go on one of these roles, which they have a couple times in the past? I know one of their last two seasons, they were 3-4 and they ended up with only 4 or 5 losses. So, you know, they've got the ability to do that. Do they have one last oomph? Because they're the team right now that I would say is sitting outside the top 12, but could jump up, skyrocket.
But that's where I think the Bills, they could put one of the final nails in the coffin for the Niners.
So who do you take serious out of the six, I think, that are you could make a case for but are out? We all agree. Green Bay, Minnesota, Chargers, Pittsburgh, Houston, Atlanta.
I take Houston seriously. I want to see what they look like when Nico Collins gets back, but I think they got a good coach. They got a good defense. I think Stroud is in that sophomore slump, but is better than the way he's played this season. I would circle Houston as a team that's still got a strong second half in them. Chargers, I think there's a great note about the schedule. I think they're still going to end up winning 10 games. They're going to get in the playoffs. Probably not power surge material, but a playoff team.
It's funny. Have I completely disrespected Atlanta? Because
oh, yeah, you did. That's the team that needs to be mentioned.
I didn't even talk about them because I don't respect them.
They seem an awful lot like the Minnesota Vikings 2 years ago, where they're a fortune of the timing of their schedule. When they played real good teams, they lost to them. They caught Tampa in a couple shootouts. I don't know how they won the first one when Tampa was healthy. Now Tampa is falling apart because the injuries are just eating them up.
No, but hold on. They beat Philly, who is in the power surge. So you can't say they haven't beat anybody this season.
They lost to Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Kansas City was a close game, by the way, right?
That counts?
No, I'm just saying. But if you said they blew them out. I mean, they've stood tall in that spot. Their losses this year.
Seahawks,
a bad loss. Pittsburgh, who we haven't mentioned either.
Oh, I mentioned them.
Right. But we haven't discussed it.
Right.
And Kansas City.
So which division is worse? The AFC East, where the Bills could lock everything up. They've got a 4-game lead on the division now. And I know Miami's been hurt by injuries, but They Miami was in desperation mode when they played the Bills this weekend. Or is it the NFC South, because, again, injuries to Tampa, but Carolina and New Orleans, dumpster fires.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. You made the question, and I know we'll talk about it in the second half of the season, Lamar versus Goff.
Yeah.
To me, the MVP is not a team award. It's an individual award. Lamar's thrown more touchdowns, few interceptions, more 30-yard plays, more 40-yard plays.
It also, it's most valuable to your team.
So if Lamar was in Detroit, would they also be 7-1? Because I think they would. And I don't think the Ravens would be, what are they, 6-3?
But you're starting to mix up and mix and match too many pieces. It's where they are now and the team that they are with.
You know, one last note on this, the Chargers. I'm so interested to see what Harbaugh does with this team in the second half because they're playing good defense. They're running the football, and he's got a better quarterback, I think, than he had when he did it the first year with San Francisco.
Oh, there's no question.
Yep. And I think he's going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
Absolutely will be. It's the power surge. It's 97-1.
Hey, why not dive into the best pool in history while watching some of these great sporting events that we've got this fall and winter? That's Stadium Swim, and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You could jump into one of six pools. You can sit next to one of six pools and watch all these great events on a 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. You guessed it, it's Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch all these games. Swim bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one non-stop party. It is built for sports fans. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino. It's in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We'll check in with Michigan Wolverine head coach Sherrone Moore coming up at 7:35 this morning. Brad Holmes did it. Went out and got his pass rusher yesterday.
Did a great job. And I'm curious. I want to know, because I'm using the term great. I think I could even go further. An amazing job that he did and how he handled the trade deadline. Because we know that he called Vegas to check on Max Crosby. How's he doing? Just, you know, he's from the area. We want to check on our local guys just to say hi. Any chance he wants to come home? Any chance you want to send him home? They said no. Okay, you do your due diligence. And I'm curious to our listeners. Do you think Brad Holmes did a good job at the trade deadline? Should he have done more? Because you look and you say, who was the best available pass rusher? And it wasn't going to be Myles Garrett. It wasn't going to be Max Crosby.
Or Trey Hendrickson,
especially following his performance. I mean, there's a lot of people that really jumped on the Trey Hendrickson bus Monday and Tuesday because of the 4-sack performance he had over the weekend and the relationship that he's had with Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell. Za'Darius Smith was the best available. And not only did he go get the best available, They we found out he's been talking to them basically since the moment Hutch got injured. Been talking to him for weeks. The reports were that they wanted a fourth. Brad Holmes said, if that's the case, we'll wait. We don't think anybody's going to give you a fourth. 1 week goes by. Hey, we still want a fourth. 2 weeks goes by. Still want a fourth. 3 weeks goes by. Still want a fourth. All right, well, hey, when you want to add some draft capital to the dumpster fire your organization is, give us a call back. They called on Tuesday morning with T-minus 8 minutes or 8 hours. And then all of a sudden, okay, what are you willing to offer? Well, let's swap sixth in 26. We actually want the better sixth. We'll give you a fifth, and you give us Za'Darius Smith. And oh, by the way, you're paying $11 million this year for Za'Darius Smith, and we're only going to pay $600,000. And if it doesn't work out with us, hopefully he helps us win a Super Bowl. If for some reason he's not a good match or he gets hurt, we can cut him before next year. And what's our cap hit? Zero! Brad Holmes is a wizard at the draft. And I'm not saying he's a wizard at the trade deadline, but he is well on his way to wizardry.
So it will mean nothing to Brad Holmes because he doesn't care about draft grades, but But he got some great trade grades across the league yesterday. Mm-hmm. A's, A minuses, some A pluses, but unanimously
A.
A. He did an outstanding job yesterday. John, I think the best point you made right there, the best pass rusher available is a Detroit Lion.
Yep.
That was his job. Get the best available pass rusher on the market. Inquire about the biggest fish, but get the only one that you can get. Za'Darius Smith. And hearing Dan Campbell gush about him, talking about how this is a guy who can play all three downs. He's responsible on the run. He can crush the pocket. There's production there from five sacks this season. It's twice the next highest Detroit Lion.
Yeah.
He does fill out the defense. They already have playmakers at the safety spots. Linebacker level's been pretty good. Underrated, I would say, Jack Campbell, the season he's having. You needed to help out up front. And this is a player who helps you out up front. There were people who thought the Super Bowl dream died the day that Aiden Hutchinson got injured. We did not go that far. But we did say they had to do something, and he did. This is absolutely a Super Bowl team. This is the Super Bowl favorite. Brad Holmes solidified that yesterday at the trade deadline and should receive unanimous praise for it.
And when you hear, and we have some audio from Dan about, you know, what Za'Darius brings, I'll let him say it, and then I'll hopefully add on a point afterwards.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.